You want to turn to me, turn with me, sorry, not turn to me, you can turn to me if you're looking away. Turn with me to your Bibles, to Psalm 19, page 553 is where we're going to be picking up in the Pew Bibles, verse 7. Our thoughts, since I'm preaching the next three Sundays, that we might do a small series, something that we can connect with. I also thought with us entering a new season of prayer, part of prayer is also listening. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to think about tuning in to the voice of God, about hearing God's voice speak to us. As much as it's important that we pray to God during this vacancy that is before us, it's also important that we're listening for what God is saying back to us. So we're going to think about that over the next 3 weeks. So Psalm 19, we're going to pick it up at verse 7 and read through to verse 11. And this is what the psalmist writes. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." And we'll end our reading there, and we thank God for his word. Shall we pray? God, as the psalmist writes there about your word, about scripture, God, it is encouraging to know that it is trustworthy, that it is righteous, that it is good, and that it is true. And as we think upon those words, God, will you minister to us this morning? Will you speak through the words that I have prepared this morning, God? May they be words that you have given me, and may they be anointed by your Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In 1957, Dr. Alfred Tomatis, a French ear, nose, and throat specialist, was working with opera singers in Paris who had lost their ability to sing certain notes, notes that had once been well within their vocal range. And what he discovered was astonishing. The average opera singer produces sound at around 140 decibels. If you don't know how loud that is slightly louder than a jet taking off from an aircraft carrier. And that sound is even more intense inside their own skulls. What he realized was that these singers were literally deafening themselves by their own voice. The issue wasn't that they had lost the ability to sing those notes. The issue was that they had lost the ability to hear them. And this led to a groundbreaking conclusion known as the Tomatis effect. And it's this: the voice can only produce what the ear can hear. It wasn't, as other doctors were suggesting, a voice problem. It was a hearing problem. And perhaps for many of us, what we sometimes perceive as relational, emotional, or spiritual problems are actually hearing problems. We're not hearing what God is saying to us. When Helen Keller was just 19 months old, she contracted meningitis, which caused her to lose her vision and her hearing. And her loss of hearing meant that then she also lost her ability to speak. But that didn't mean that she couldn't communicate. She learned to speak in different ways, through spelling words with her fingers, having people interpret them for her, and then having them write down what she was saying. But she also learned new ways to listen, through vibration, through touch, feeling how people's lips shaped different words. You see, we don't just listen with our ears. We listen with our hearts. We listen with our feelings. We learn how to discern what is being said when it doesn't sound like much is being said at all. That word discern comes from a Latin word which means to separate or to sift. It's about learning to recognize what is really being said, even when the message is quiet or subtle or hidden beneath the surface. It involves a special way of hearing, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, with our attention, and with our spirit. We are constantly surrounded by sound, even if we don't hear it. With our human ears, we can hear sounds of a frequency between 20 and 20,000 hertz. The average male speaks at a frequency of 100 hertz, and the average female at a pitch of 150 hertz. So when we talk about frequency, we're not talking about how loud a sound is, but how high or low it is. So we can hear between 20 and 20,000 hertz. And any sound that is below 20 hertz is known as infrasound, and any sound above 20,000 hertz is ultrasonic, ultrasound. And while we might not be able to hear those sounds, we can still see and experience the impact and the effects of them. Infrasound can cause headaches. It helps elephants predict the change in weather. It helps birds to navigate during migration. Ultrasound can break glass, can break up kidney stones. It can drill through steel and clean jewelry. It also gives us glimpses of an unborn baby in their mother's womb. God is speaking all around us, but to hear him, we need to make sure that we're tuned into the right frequency. God is speaking, but are we listening? Over the coming weeks, we're going to think about three ways that God speaks. In his book, Whispers, Mark Batterson writes about seven ways that God speaks, but we're going to pick up on three of them. Scripture, doors accompanied by signs, and people. Today we're going to begin with Scripture, God's primary way of speaking to us. In the psalm we read earlier, it says that the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The New Living Translation says, giving insight for living. And by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. I have lots of books. I love reading. I have loads of books at home, some on shelves, some in boxes, a Kindle full of e-books. Some I've read, many I haven't yet. And some I've read several times because I enjoy them so much. To Kill a Mockingbird, Stephen King's The Stand. But the Bible is a different book. We don't just read the Bible. The Bible reads us. There are some books that we read, and when we read them, we'll pick up on a character and we'll think, I really connect with that character. I really enjoy that guy. Really love to be him. But the Bible is the opposite, because when we read the Bible tells us who we are. And that is because the Spirit that inspired the ancient writers is the same Spirit that informs you and me when we read those ancient words. And yet, ancient as they might be, those words speak truth to us nearly 2,000 years after the last one was written down. These words in this Bible were written by more than 40 writers over a period of 15 centuries in three different languages across three different continents. They were written by farmers, by fishermen, by temple and government officials, by kings, poets, prophets, and prisoners. And covering topics as diverse as law, history, poetry, prophecy, theology, cosmology, and yet somehow it all comes together into something coherent with a single focus. And although we have different copies of this book lying in all sorts of places around this building and in our homes, over the centuries, people have devoted lifetimes to creating just a single copy of this book. While others have been willing and still do risk and give their lives to get their hands on a single copy. There is something about this book that makes it like no other, and that is because it is like no other. Because even though the words might have been transcribed by over 40 writers over all those centuries, behind it is one singular author inspiring their words and their thoughts, helping them to know what must go in and what do they leave out. God breathed is how Paul describes it. With the breath of God in it, it is alive, always fresh, always relevant, and always speaking to you and me. Its words are, as the psalmist said, perfect, trustworthy, right, pure, firm, and righteous. But how do we discern from all those words what God is saying to us? How do we hear God's voice in Scripture? We're going to look at three things that help us discern God's voice in Scripture: reading our Bible, accompanied by the Spirit, and in a methodical way. The first thing to remember is that reading your Bible is important, from cover to cover. This might sound obvious, but it is important for two reasons. Firstly, by reading the Bible from start to finish, we get the bigger picture. We get to see what the story is all about, the whole story. When God speaks to us, God doesn't contradict Scripture, so it's really important for us to know what Scripture says. The second reason is that it helps us to know what God's voice sounds like and to understand the language that He speaks. Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, that His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. In the same way that a baby recognizes its mother's and father's voices, we become familiar with how God sounds the more time we spend listening to Him speaking through His Word. But we also come to understand the way He speaks by spending time immersed in His words. The best way to learn a new language, the easiest way to learn a new language, is to immerse yourself in an environment where you can hear that language being spoken. Babies learn to speak by hearing their parents speak. They learn how to pronounce words by hearing their parents pronounce those words over and over again. It takes between 9 and 12 months for their first intelligible word to be spoken. By their first birthdays, they have a vocabulary of just 5 words, but by the age of 6, that has risen to around 14,000 words. Sometimes they use them all in one day. And that's because even though it might not seem like it on some days, they are listening. They are listening to what is being said, and they're learning as they're listening. The Beatles wrote lots of songs, and around 180 of them were attributed to Lennon and McCartney. But not all of them were written by them both together. Some were written solely by John Lennon, some solely by Paul McCartney. And if you listen to their music enough, if you come to understand their personalities, to the finely tuned ear, it is possible to discern which ones were written by John Lennon and which ones were written by Paul McCartney. You can even work out who contributed which parts of the songs that they wrote together. They each had a way of writing, a style that they identified with, that you can start to recognize the more you listen to their songs. And it is the same with God. Reading the Bible from cover to cover gives us an opportunity to hear God's voice so that we learn how to recognize it, to know how God sounds so that we can discern whether it is God speaking to us or whether it is something else. The second thing that helps us hear God's voice in Scripture is our partnership with the Holy Spirit. In 1993, the singer Beck released probably his best song, Loser. And the words of the opening verse go like this: "In the time of the chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins, so I'm out to cut the junkie with the plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables, dog food stalls with the beefcake patios, kill the headlights and put it in neutral, stock car flaming with a loser and the cruise control, babies in Reno with vitamin D." If you go to the internet, there are lots of people who can tell you exactly what that song is all about. There's someone who can tell you quite coherently that opening verse I read is all about cars. According to someone else, there's the whole Hindu thing going on there with monkey gods, vegetarianism, fasting, and reincarnation. But what does Beck say the song is all about? Well, he says it's about nothing. He was just messing about with words. Who better to let you know about what is being said than the person who wrote it themselves? And if the words of Scripture are God-breathed, if they are inspired by the Holy Spirit, then who better to help you understand what is being said in Scripture than the author himself? So when you read your Bible, start by praying to the Holy Spirit to help you understand what you're reading. But there's more to partnering with the Holy Spirit when you're reading the Bible than him helping you understand what is being said. It's also him helping you recognize if God is speaking to you about something specific through those words. In Psalm 119, a psalm that is devoted to the wonder of Scripture, Verse 25 says, I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. But I like the way the King James Version words it. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That word quicken is a word that we don't use much in that way anymore. But it was used in that great classic movie, Highlander. A film about a race of immortal humans who must fight each other through the century until there can be only one. And when one immortal defeats the other, they experience something that they call the quickening. A surge of energy as they absorb the essence of the one that they have just killed. And sometimes when we're reading scripture, something happens. A verse stands out. A phrase stirs something in us. It's as if the Holy Spirit is saying, this is for you. This verse, these words are no longer just another part of your daily reading. They have become the words that God is speaking directly to you. A surge of clarity, a flutter of the heart, a spiritual quickening. That's how God speaks to us through his word. Not only in the general truths of scripture, but in specific moments, directly into our lives. Quicken me according to your word. When you're reading the Bible, invite the Holy Spirit to help you to understand what you're reading, but also invite him to speak to you directly through God's word. And then be ready for when he does. Because you will get the sense that some words are specifically for you, for a situation that you're in, something that you're trying to make sense of, or a decision that you're wanting to make. It might not happen every time, but don't be complacent, because the next time you read might just be the time that God wants to speak to you and say something directly to you. And the third thing that helps us hear God's voice is to be methodical in our approach to reading our Bible. I think one of the misconceptions that we have about the Holy Spirit, and I think maybe this misconception comes from when Jesus says in John 3 verse 8, comparing the Holy Spirit to the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so it leads us to thinking that we always need to be on our toes, because we never know when the Holy Spirit will suddenly decide to do something on a whim, so we need to be flexible and ready to adapt. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. We might think that he does, and our experience of him might lead us to think that he does. But the Holy Spirit is never taken by surprise. The Holy Spirit never changes his plans. He might make us change our plans, but he doesn't change his. Even when he is doing something new, it is a part of his plan. The story of the Bible shows us that God is working towards something, and he always has been. When God uttered those first words that he speaks in the Bible, let there be light, he already knew that there would be a need for a Savior. He already knew that you and I would come into existence, and he already knew what our lives would look like. And that through the death of Jesus, we would come into a relationship with him. He tells us that in Ephesians 1 verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I'm stressing this point because what we don't need to do when we're looking for God to tell us something is the old flip and point method of doing things. Opening up the Bibles to a random page and pointing to a verse and seeing what it says and deciding that's what God wants me to do. That's what God is speaking to me now. I'm just trying to see what this verse says. I don't want to read it loud in case it is relevant to somebody. but that's not the way that God wants to speak to us. God knows what we're reading. Open up your Bible and stick to your reading plan. God knows what you're reading. He knows if there is something there that you need to hear, and he will let you know what it is. God knows today what your reading plan in 2027 looks like. He knows what's going to happen in your life in 2027, and he knows which words from scripture you need to hear specifically at that time. When I was in ordained ministry, I used to preach using the Revised Common Lectionary, a three-year cycle of scripture that was originally developed in 1983 and revised in 1992. And although those readings were chosen nearly 25 years before I ever used them, the number of times that they spoke directly into the needs of a particular church or a particular situation was incredible. You'd almost think that the Holy Spirit had a hand in choosing them, that he knew what was going to happen in 2015 back in 1983. So don't think just because you need to hear something from God that you now need to change course or change tact in how or what you're reading in your Bible. Because the danger of the flip and point method is that you'll keep doing it until you point to something that you want to hear, that you think God needs to say to you rather than what God is trying to say. He knows what you're reading. He knows what's going on in your life. In fact, he probably led you to your current reading plan because he knew what would be happening in your life now. So take your reading seriously. If you think God is not speaking to you, it's less likely to be a voice problem than a hearing problem. It is more likely that you're not taking the time to listen to what God is saying. A new season of prayer also needs to be a new season of listening. Spend time in your reading. Make sure you're listening to what is being said. Read carefully. Read slowly. Don't rush it. Learn how God sounds. Meditate on it. Think about what is being said. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you. And get yourself on the right wavelength so that you can tune in and hear clearly what God is saying to you in what you're already reading. He is talking to us, but we need to listen. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for the gift of your word. It has been faithfully written down as people were prompted by the Holy Spirit. It has been faithfully passed on from generation to generation. So still today, we can read these words that were written so long ago, and through the power of your Spirit, through the presence of your Spirit in them, they are still alive and they are still relevant and they are still speaking to us. Help us, God, to tune in to them so that we can hear your voice. Help us to recognize that this is the primary way in which you speak to us. And so we need to take it seriously. We can't say that God is not speaking to us if we're not reading your word. And so God, this is our first step in hearing what you have to say, is to open your word and allow it to speak to us. God, if we're falling short in this, encourage us and inspire us today to start afresh. To say, I'm going to take this seriously because God has something to say to me. I need his help and I need his guidance. So we thank you, God, for your word. We pray that you will help us to take it seriously. In the name of Jesus, amen.